Flying from Chicago to Treefort, my plane didn't touch down in Boise until past 11. If it wasn't for the strong, motivational right hand of our dear friend Rachel, there's probably a good chance I wouldn't have even made it out that first night.
Hey, David.
Yes, ma'am.
We're about halfway through Treefort. What do you think?
Look, I'm going to tell you one thing. Independent artists, they deserve a lot of things. I have an award. I'm ready.
Okay.
Are you?
I'm ready. What's your award?
Let's chat about a band.
That's the name of the award?
No.
Okay.
The award I'm going to give it, and you know exactly who it's going to be right when I say it. And we're going to do this every year that we do Treefort, because we are going to do Treefort every year from now on. And we're going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread at Treefort. But
sliced bread's so convenient.
Where it really is. But, you know, French bread in a loaf, underrated. Anyway, not to downsize the band I'm about to talk about by talking about French loaves versus sliced bread, but anywho, I digress. I already know my MVP of this year.
Okay. I know your MVP.
Do you think that your MVP is the same?
Yeah, definitely.
Which is a big thing because of how much all we've talked about this week is how amazing all of the bands have been.
Yes. However, if we're thinking about the same band, and I think we're thinking about the same band, this band is the most consistently talented musically, every single individual player in the band. And they are so good.
We might be thinking about different
bands. Are we thinking about different bands?
We might be. I'm thinking of a band that... Who are you thinking of?
Kildabs.
Okay, we're thinking of the same band. Okay, that's good.
Do you not believe me? Do you not think?
I think that there is a very close runner to that in San Fermin. I think that Gilda House was just a, you show up to the show and they just punch you in the face and you don't even necessarily know why.
It was more than, I feel like maybe you got punched in the face, but for me, when we were talking to Nick, when I had said to him, it feels like you were possessed.
Yes.
Like.
His facial expressions.
The music for every
Sven,
single person.
Cue Nick's facial expressions.
Every single person, like, if you engaged with them while they were playing, it was like.
Yes.
They were like. Casting
Nick,
a spell over you.
You are. I love that you say that, Nick. Well put. Possessed. Completely in his own world. Facial expressions are crazy.
Yes.
Tony, a very different type of guitar player. He has a bit of a old school rocker vibe.
Yes.
But the effects that he has.
Right.
Completely nuanced and new.
Mm-hmm.
New age.
Then there's Meg. Who just like, you cannot, if she gets eye contact with you,
I'm
fucking done until she breaks it. It was like, something's gonna happen here.
Yeah.
I can't stop.
And that's without even talking about how fucking awesome the music was.
Yeah.
Like
just the stage presence alone.
Yeah. All three of them, the stage presence is incredible. And it wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for how good.
Mm-hmm.
The tunes were.
Yeah.
Gilda House and the dad.
Mm-hmm. And Meg's dad sells merch.
At the shows.
He rocks out. If you ever get a glimpse of him, he's just dancing, selling merch while they're playing.
Billings, Montana.
Also,
Gilda
they're from
House,
Billings.
Which I mean, just let's.
Didn't see that coming.
We need to keep track of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gilda House.
Take a break, head down, working hard, look up. We could
Hey, DL here, Rachel, First Course Universe, what's up? We are here with the amazing Gilda House. We've got Meg. Do you go by Meg?
I do, yeah.
Okay, good. Meg. Tony.
Yep.
And then Nick. We were lucky enough to see these badasses last night. I'm telling you right now, I'm not joking. It's going to be really hard to beat this at Tree Fort this year. Dead serious. It was fucking amazing.
Thank you. My gosh.
Yeah, incredible stuff. I want to start with just the stage presence last night. Because I want to start with you because you are such a unique member of the band.
Well, thank you.
You play to the songs a lot, and then all of a sudden, what we were taught, like the very end of last night, it's like, Oh, look at that crazy technique.
Love that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your journey in guitar, synth, all that.
I mean, I started playing guitar when I was like maybe 12. I did the whole thing with starting with on my lap. I'm like, hey, this is cool, you know?
Yeah.
And over the years, finally just flipped it upside and started learning, like, you know, power chords and whatnot. And then, you know, just never stopped playing. Picked up piano. I picked up piano. I just kind of started dabbling in it when I was about 17. I was like, this is really cool. I figured you can transcribe music that way. Yeah. If you learn piano, you can learn a lot of different instruments, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's just kind of how I picked the instruments up. And I come from like a metal background, punk background. So I just learned, like, you know, bar chords, power chords, and eventually started learning leads, you know, like Eddie Van Halen's a huge, huge influence, you know?
Oh,
so,
my.
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Our third co-host who can't be here, unfortunately, he is stuck in Puerto Rico with his significant other.
Oh, darn it.
Miserable time.
Yeah.
We can't go an episode without him talking about EVH. So.
Oh, man, we could go on then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You as well, I mean, your drumming, it looks like you'd be exhausted after every show.
You know, I'm used to it.
You put so much into it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to hit the drums hard.
Who are your influences?
Oh, man, everything. Like, I guess punk rock was my first calling to music. But growing up, I was in jazz band, so I definitely got into, like, Buddy Rich and all of that.
Okay. All right.
Fast hands. I like fast hands.
Awesome. And then we have the crazy stage presence of Meg, who everybody at that concert last night fell in love. Like, your stage presence is crazy amazing. Kind of the same question, though, as far as influences, because you have such a unique style. Who are your influences?
Musically speaking, I do love, like, heavy synth dance beat stuff. Like, I think lately I've been listening to a lot of Phanagram.
Oh, nice.
Love those guys.
I can totally see that.
And, but then otherwise, like, I think I was always in dance and theater and appreciate the, like, that tool in the toolbox, if you will. It's just part of, like, what I do. It feels good.
Awesome. I forgot. So you had your dad there last night.
My dad.
So
nice
dad.
Guy.
So
really
some swag, right?
Yep.
So
very nice.
We got,
looks
some
good on
swag.
You.
That looks fantastic.
It's a little tight.
He sold you a good one.
Yeah. He did. I saw it and I had to have it. We wanted to talk a lot too about, because the songs are so unique, your writing process. Who starts it? Is it all collaboration? Where do you go as far as writing these songs?
It's cool that it's evolved over time. I realized on the drive up here that each record that Gilda House has done, it has pulled in a new and level up kind of member and moment for the music.
Okay.
So the first EP came out in 2019. I did that by myself in my house. And I just wrote it and produced it and put it out, and Sean Lynch, our manager and also studio collaborator, mix engineer, fellow writer, had heard that and asked me to play a show at his venue. He was also mixing for Tony at that time with a different project. That pulled Tony in the second record, A, B, Side A, and then Be at Ease, we pulled in Nick, and Viennese was the first record that had all three of us and Sean involved in the writing process. But it was still like, Viennese is the flip side of AB Side A. And so I kind of was like, hey guys, I have a really specific vision for how do we have to finish this project. And so I'd say right now, our writing process is the most collaborative that it's been. And we will start an idea anywhere. It could be a melody or a beat or a
cool
synth
riff.
Lick or lyrics. And then we just kind of follow it. And if we are excited about it, we keep working on it and we'll ping pong it back and forth. We're all like engineers and studio rats.
Oh, all right.
So
yeah, awesome.
It's pretty easy and fun to like ping pong the ideas back and forth in the studio. And
Where'd that come from? Just dinking around in your rooms, or like where'd the engineering
just dinking around in rooms, making, trying to create like random sounds, you know? It's just, you kind of pick up mixing and engineering as you go, you know? Just start learning all the, I call it nerdy stuff, but it is like the most like amazing stuff that once you get down to it, I mean, we've spent hours in messages like going back and forth about plugins or whatever, you know?
Nice.
But that's kind of how that goes.
I'm smiling over here.
I feel like in a lot of bands, you always have that one person like, yeah, oh, they know how to hook up the PA. Oh, and they know how to record and this and that.
You're left
well,
here.
This band, it just happens to be like, we're all that person.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It works really well, just kind of easily, very cohesive, you know, very open-minded. So it's easy to just throw ideas out there and be like, all right, let's hear what you would like to do. So
yeah. I really feel like you could feel that because your stage presence is amazing and was drawing everyone in. I was talking to Sven about it earlier that the only moments I wasn't looking at you is when you turned around because I was like, she can't capture my eyes. I can look at everybody else. But like, you can feel the cohesion. You can feel the talent and everybody is so equal. And that's why we're saying like, it'll be very hard to beat that, what we saw last night. It was amazing. And watching you drum was insane. Like watching you feel the music was like, you looked possessed.
All right.
The music. And it was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
That's a great way to put it.
That is a really good way to put it. Are you all three from Billings, from Montana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially.
Yep, pretty
much. What is it about? I love Montana. I love it. I think it's kind of like one of the last places left that actually has, you know, some nature you can hang out in.
That's the slogan, last best place.
There
still holds true.
Literally the state, like.
Yeah.
So I think the typical person, when they think music like yours, they think LA, they think, you know, that sort of thing. What is it about Montana or Billings that has given you that artistic freedom to come up with this unique music?
Oh, man. Honestly, everything. I mean, we've been in the music scene for years now. And I mean, Montana's pretty, I'd say Americana folk slash punk and metal are also like, they've been relevant through the years, you know?
Okay.
And that's kind of like how we built ourselves and kind of got to know the scene, feel it out. And I think, I don't know, it seemed like all at the same time. I mean, she was already on it where it was like, gosh, there's got to be something kind of different, someone trying to do something different, you know, like especially pop or something, you know, that doesn't really come out of Montana. So it was like once I had heard her material, I was like, there it is. Someone is trying to do something different. And I am all about it. So joined the team and I was just like, this is amazing. This just feels right, you know.
It is I will say this again to our listeners, and we're really trying to concentrate on this, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think you're gonna get a lot bigger sooner. This is one of those bands where it's a shame that they are not bigger than they are, honestly. You guys have some Midwest gigs coming up after this, right?
Yep, next week.
I don't have the list with me. Do you know what they are?
We do. We do, yes. We are playing in Des Moines, Iowa at XBK.
Awesome.
And then we're playing at 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Which is it'll be our second time getting to play that room, mm-hmm. and that was really validating to get invited back to
awesome.
Play 7th
yeah.
Street, which is like the reason to get out there again. Then we're playing a room called the 1867 Bar in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
And then we come back from that, and we'll do a little kind of route around Montana the next weekend, Bozeman and Missoula. And then, yeah, so we just kind of weekend warrior it. We try to be really, purposeful about where we're playing, when we're playing, so that we can.
You have to.
Yeah, we're not just like, oh, let's go hit the road super hard.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very, I mean, nowadays, to be an independent artist.
Yeah,
it's
just not.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But talking to that, as far as what our listeners can do to support you, what is there anything upcoming? Are we looking at an album? I know that that's really hard to come out with an LP nowadays because the industry isn't really set up for it. But what can our listeners do to help you guys stay touring and playing?
Oh man, I mean, come to the shows.
Yeah.
If we're in your city, we would really love to see you and meet you and play for you. But we do have a single coming out on April 5th. And so, you know.
Heard it last night.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, yes.
And that's like the baby seed to the next album that we're writing. You know, we'll put out singles. We'll do the thing. But we also like a cohesive listen from front to back that's purposeful. So, mm-hmm. we still make LPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can they just like it.
Yeah.
Can people buy your swag online?
That's a very good question. The merch is going to be uploaded online after we finish this run of shows.
Awesome.
So soon. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Very soon. If you follow us on Instagram
or
Facebook or wherever, Guildhouse Music is usually our @.
Mm-hmm.
That merch will be up and available online.
Awesome.
Yep.
We'll put all that up on the video. And
awesome.
Yeah. Make sure that everybody gets that. 4 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock today,
mm-hmm.
which nobody's going to see this today, so there's no point in me even saying it. But hopefully you saw them, and it really, honestly, what a great set. It's so good we're going back today to see them. So get some footage from the real cameraman. Nick, Tony, Meg, thank you so much for the music. If you ever need anything, let us know. We are massive fans now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. It's really humbling talking to you.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, it's validating. So thank you.
You like, yes. No question you should be doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good thing we're here.
Yeah.
Go get some swag. Go check them out. Go to their Instagram. Go to their web. They do have a website where they post all their tour dates. Let's get them bigger. Okay. Hey, thanks.
You need to record an intro.
I know.
Get that and record an intro.
I know.
David.
Yes? An hour in the Shriner with Megacat.
Yes.
How much fun was that?
It was real fun.
Right?
It was real fun. We interviewed them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out and had some beers. We were best friends. We came in, we waved. They're like, hey, buddy. There was stage chemistry for days.
between everyone. They had fun. They were jumping on amps. They were coming into the crowd.
Jumping on amps.
Kim was just killing the keys, making eye contact with all her friends.
Okay, here's the thing about Mega Cat. No lyrics.
No lyrics.
Never. Ever, 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 forever, ever, forever,
and where they have a plan for their music, it definitely feels like they're jamming. Like things happen that aren't necessarily planned or supposed to happen, but they happen because they're just feeling it.
Okay, so here's the thing. How many bands have you ever seen that the bass player is like the front man?
No.
He totally was.
And the guitar player.
I mean, you know, Lump, he sat alone with Lucky Marsh.
It was, yeah.
Totally lonesome. But we're not concentrating on that.
No.
No. The United States of America, comma, presidents. we're trying not to concentrate too much on that. How often the bass player, how's it going, man? Did you see the last band?
I was loving it.
It was amazing, right? See?
You don't do that when the music tells you to dance. Exactly.
Verse, Chorus Universe, DL.
And Rachel, we are here with the one, the only, Seattle's Mega Cat.
What's up?
How is Mega Cat doing?
Yeah,
it's
doing great.
Yeah?
Purring right along. That's the first time I've done that.
The first time I've actually slipped in the cat.
This is the only interview you're allowed to say that.
Okay, yeah. I was probably the only one I ever met.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good.
Deal.
When did you all get together as a band?
So we first started getting together, it was the three of us, and it was during COVID lockdown. And we started out first doing just distance bonfires in Aaron and his wife Emily's backyard.
Awesome.
It was like us and a couple of other friends sitting, you know, six feet apart.
Sanity-maintaining social hang.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was a way to, like, see people. And we had some really, actually, pretty intense conversations because it was intense.
Yeah.
So we did that for months and months, and then the weather turned, as Seattle
tends to do.
And there was like one day where Aaron was like, hey, I've got this really cool drum sound. Would you guys want to come in here and listen to it? Like
into Aaron's basement studio at the place where we were doing the bonfire.
Cool.
So we just kind of started being, you know, intentional in our safety.
We like shot it.
I like the way that you put that.
Intentional in our sound. Yeah, and so then we formally kind of like potted up the four of us.
Four of us being Kim and I, and then Aaron and Emily.
Yeah.
Aaron's lovely wife.
Yeah. And we would come over to Aaron's studio every Sunday and start jamming and
start recording
and usually have an arrangement together by the end of the day and. This will be our fifth show ever.
This is our first festival.
Wow.
The record just came out last month.
It did. Self-titled.
Yes.
Vinyl
debut.
Is available.
It
so
is.
Go buy it.
On the Bandcamp.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually, you can hold me to it, but as soon as this interview's done, I am going to go buy it because I haven't bought it yet.
We have some at the festival too.
That's what I was thinking. Hopefully you have some swag there people can pick up.
Yeah,
new album came out. It, really, really fantastic album. I've gotten to listen to it for about a week or two now, and I absolutely love it. As far as being more or less an instrumental band, cause I'm always pleasantly surprised when I go to see a band and there aren't lyrics. Kind of like, I'm kind of into this. Do you, as an instrumental band for the most part, do you think that puts more pressure on the music? Or do you even notice it?
I don't know. I mean, because Kim and I have had this band, Smokey Brights, for over a decade, where we both sing.
Yeah, and then we're like the primary songwriters for it.
And like Mega Cat has been the, we get to like, it feels like I get to like turn my brain over and use the other half. Of just like, okay, I'm not thinking about like songs and lyrics and sentiments.
Yeah.
We're thinking about like, how do I have the most fun playing my instrument, which is one of my favorite things
yeah.
to do. And like, I think that's all of our attitudes of just like, so
it was a kind of a refreshing, we've all done pop, indie, folk rock,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
very vocal
yeah.
centric music for most of our careers. And this was like a refreshing thing where it's more than like getting in the way. I think it kind of allowed us to do different stuff on the instruments
yeah.
that
yeah,
we
totally.
Wouldn't
sure.
have been able to do thinking about, okay, we got to save room for top line later. That kind of, it really was, I think, a big catalyst. It's like we planned from the very beginning. That's the only thing we ever really talked about. We're like, let's just do something instrumental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that was it. That, yeah.
It, yeah.
Yeah, I would say it was probably more even therapeutic for you guys to just
really
guys,
free.
Yeah,
really free.
Really free.
I usually
yeah.
play drums, so I don't have to really worry about. But that's not even true, because like as I play drums, like the things that the hierarchy for me is drums and vocals. If those
yeah.
aren't like, if I'm as a drummer, if I'm stepping on vocals, I've completely failed. That's like my one job is to like sit
yeah.
with the vocals and you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
the percussion in this project is important. It's,
that's kind
it's,
of
yeah.
like the
yes.
vocals in a way
yeah.
at times.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's the filler and the subdivisions in between, and you're totally
yeah.
right, which
yeah.
often you don't get as much room for.
It's attention to detail.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
I feel
yeah.
like we have more freedom and more kind of flexibility in
it's
general.
Wow, it's been so fun.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is we didn't really have the option to even think about it, because we just did this. It was
yeah.
just like,
it was
we didn't talk about it, we didn't plan it.
First thought in the moment music.
It was
yeah.
just
yeah.
because we had a cool drum sound dialed up and we wanted to like record,
capture it,
because we play music, because we weren't like
yeah
yeah
playing with our bands, and you know it was very
yeah.
much just to do it. Ryan keeps saying, I'll never forget, I never really said this term, but he keeps saying we did it for the love of baseball. And like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
It's a for the love of baseball.
And like, and that resonates. And I'm not even like a baseball person, but like, I get that.
You're
like,
from Seattle, you're supposed to say you're a Mariners.
Well, I'm,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
I'm definitely a Mariners person.
Go
I'm
Habs.
Not like
yeah.
a
baseball. 1995
yeah.
season, my oh my.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
You
straight.
Know, Magic season.
Yeah. Dave Niehaus.
All over it.
RIP.
RIP.
Yeah.
RIP.
Yes.
You know, Griffey,
Cora,
yep.
Martinez, the big unit. Buter.
The ball Butte.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was honestly, that was like my peak of like baseball following, and it's like been some, you know.
It's very understandable.
Yeah.
But what about Ichiro?
Ichiro was
yeah.
also amazing.
Ichiro's amazing.
Yeah.
Julio's.
Yeah.
This is now a baseball podcast.
Yeah.
Cool. Julio's like the best ball player I've seen in my entire life, too. Like,
insane.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It's
kind of exciting. So,
this really
yeah.
is a baseball
anyway,
podcast
yeah.
now.
Go Habs. Okay.
So you guys are playing.
Yes.
9 o'clock. Tomorrow
yes.
at the Shriners.
Yes. So,
which is a crazy cool little venue,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I love that, you know, we've been to Treefort. We've played Treefort a number of times with our other project. And I've always walked into that basement space and been like, this is one of the vibiest places
right?
in this whole festival. So to turn that into a stage feels like so tight.
So
awesome. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. So what are we going to expect at the show? What is a lot of the newer stuff?
It's, I mean, yeah, we've been, you know, it's been so fun to figure out how to make this project a live project.
Mm-hmm.
The band's expanded. We have the incredible Jacob Winahan playing ox percussion with us.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So all of that amazing ox percussion you're hearing, we're doing that live. We have,
fantastic.
Yeah, we have Dave Dieter from Presence of the United States of America playing guitar.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He just.
Like, very awesome.
Very
like,
awesome.
My last question is going to be like, how the f*** did you
do that?
Yeah.
We can get into how Dave
got
that.
Cool. And then our friend Peter Daniel, who's just one of the vibiest, cool horn players out there. Like, he plays sax and flute. And
yeah.
he's the one playing sax and flute on the record. So it's just going to get wild. Like, the live show is, like, the energy is really fun. And just
and like
get
with,
wild and
you'll hear the arrangements, like, on the record. And then we will go into semi-rehearsed, slightly chaotic jams.
That's your kind of shit,
And like, we don't know what's gonna happen all the time.
Love that.
I almost answer your question and be like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
We can talk afterwards and see how it was.
It's a big act of trust, like for everybody. And
I've never played the same thing twice.
No.
But the songs are there.
That.
I should say that the songs are there. But
yeah.
Then we just stretch them out and, you know.
And get them wild.
Let them mutate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
9 o'clock. We're going to be there. We are absolutely stoked.
Heck yeah.
Sven, the cameraman, spectacular. He's going to get some good footage.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to bring the camera?
Yeah.
Okay,
awesome.
Dude, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
There's limited footage of us because we are very new.
No, we're going to get you some good stuff. Megacat, the vinyl, go buy it. We want to end this the same way we like to ask a lot of artists that are working the impossible. Being a musician nowadays, you're all rich. You have your record deals.
Oh yeah, we're all independently very wealthy.
Yeah.
So it's just really easy.
Flew in on your private jet. What can the listeners do? Our amazing listeners that just love music like this. What can they do to support you?
An awesome question. I think, grabbing the record is a huge, huge get for us. It sounds, amazing on vinyl. I didn't quite know how much
it's really a different experience.
It's a different experience.
We have t-shirts too that are glow. They're glow in the dark t-shirts. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Designed by our friend Vox Mod.
Yep.
If you love some music, find a little way to support it, be it buying a shirt, going to a show, or picking up a record, because streaming, we all know, does not make a lot of money.
Yeah, and also sharing it with friends.
And just,
tell
a buddy.
Champion
of
the band.
Yeah.
Champion the band. Like, that's something that's still really important and will never not be important.
Yeah, exactly.
Small little groups that can lift up a band, overnight, just...
Yep.
Yeah, if you love it, tell people you love it.
Yeah.
Champion the band. We are big, big fans of that. Everybody, go buy the album. And just stay tuned. They're going to be playing live. You're going to see the footage as we're talking. I guarantee you it's going to be an amazing show. I'll probably add in something at the end saying, yes, it was an amazing show.
On second thought, it wasn't good.
Actually,
almost amazing.
Megacat. Thank you so much. We're so excited to see you.
Thank you so much
for taking time to hang with
us. Excited. A few of us are going to come see you at Tree Fort this year. You're going to be playing at the Shriner, which is a great little club at 11 p.m. on Saturday, March 23rd. Have you done Tree Fort before?
No, we haven't. We're so excited to do it. We've heard just amazing things for years.
Great festival. I haven't lived in Boise for a very, very long time, but I did grow up there, and I've been to a couple, and they do a really good job with the festival. We're excited to see you. The Systrionics 2.0, the release of that, was that more of a reimagining as artists of your songs, or was that a way to get away from Systrionics being on a label, on a different label?
It checked so many boxes. So the original deal we did for that, I was looking into it and reading through the contract in the January of last year, 2023, because I was doing a lot of forensic accounting, kind of trying to figure out coming out of the pandemic, like where all the money was and digging through the couch for pennies. And basically, I realized that deal was a perpetuity deal in perpetuity. So in other words, that label owns those masters, those recordings of that record, Systrionics, until I die and beyond. And what I also figured out is that we'd actually never made any money from sales or downloads or streams of the record. And so I was like, oh, well, that's really annoying, because that's like our biggest record, and that had the biggest push, and we toured it so heavily. We worked it really hard. So it was kind of a painful reality to discover.
Yeah.
And but the good news was they didn't have a re-recording clause. Like, basically, the re-recording clause was 6 months after the record came out. So
okay.
We've always done everything with a great sense of purpose. And it's not really been business music, you know. It's really
yeah.
come from this, like, compulsion we both share. And
I think that's pretty evident from your music. There's a lot of
thank you.
Very
yeah.
straightforward passion in the music, for sure.
Like, sometimes, like, to our detriment. Like, maybe we should have done more business music. So this was a chance for us to just do it our own way without any of that in there. It's also an amazing opportunity, after playing these songs for all these years, to commit to recording sort of what's in our bodies, you know, just this, like...
Yeah.
physical body memory of the experience of playing these songs.
If I can edit it, if it's going to get you in trouble, but this kind of fuck this label, let's figure out how to do it ourselves now sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't
as
have
fans
to edit it.
We
I think
love
like
that.
I haven't been real cautious about, like, I mean, I don't think I'm on the verge of having another deal with Island UK, so I'm not like, I don't know. I'm
yeah.
not too worried about it.
Yeah.
But I think yeah, I mean, it is about taking something back that is yours. I mean, we
yeah.
wrote the songs. We were the people. We had the point of view. So it's, you know, yes, someone else paid to promote it, to manufacture it, to release it. And we've done other kinds of deals later. We've done more like label services deals, where it's much
mm-hmm.
more like they license it for a period of time, and it's much more artist friendly, and it makes so much more sense. It's much more reasonable. But the other thing is that we always played all these songs a half step down live. So we're like, well, let's
oh, really?
Record them at a key that we actually play them in. So that
I was
going to
ask you about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then
yeah.
for me personally, I was always frustrated with the way that first record sounded. I know Lindsay and I have differing opinions here, but I'm like, I'm a heavy head. Like, I like, you know, I like raw rock. I like it to feel like it does in the club. I like it to have a rawness, a wildness. Like, I think
yeah.
that's what it is. Basically, I feel like women now, like, and always, as long as I can remember, we're so, like, obsessively in control of every aspect of ourselves to this, like, unhealthy degree. And that's kind of how
oh, okay.
I felt about that first record. And you can see from my hair, and like, if you knew me, you'd realize, like, I'm a low maintenance person, and I truly believe that women should let shit hang out and be what they are, and allow themselves more and spend less time, like, fixing themselves for everyone else.
Are
yeah.
you so are you and Lindsay, is there a bit of a contracting personality there?
Absolutely, yeah, we're super different. Super different.
So what's
I mean,
it
look,
like being in a band
we're both
for this
white
long?
Girls, and we're both half Jewish, and that's we have those
okay.
things in common. We also both love Elliott Smith and Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And it basically everything divides from there. So Deepfell is interesting because it's
okay.
like yeah, those are the only things we have. Oh, we both have two kids. We have those things.
Okay.
But like I, you know. But that's what the beauty of Deep Valley. It's truly like an alchemy that neither of us would have done on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we have to respect that. It's like, in spite of our differences, this is whatever it is created in the tension of the two of us. It's this, it's Deep Valley. It's this thing. And I think that's really like,
it's,
I mean,
it's
for lack of
great.
It's like magical. It's, yeah.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. Like I've said before this started, I've actually only known of your group for about since I started studying the lineup for Treefort, and you were a band that really immediately stuck out, and not just the Sistrionics. We haven't even touched. I think Marriage is an incredible album.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like all the different influences and the rawness of that album are really fucking rad.
Yeah.
I noticed that in the bio of the Treefort, this is your farewell tour. Your
yes.
ending being the band.
Yes.
What's the reasoning behind that?
It's like, it's so simple. I mean, I wish there was a more interesting reason, but it's just like reality. It's time plus money equals question
yeah.
mark. So it's like, to do this properly, to be full-time an artist, which Lindsay and I really primarily have been because we signed that huge deal. So right from the beginning as a band, we never had day jobs and then like toured and fit the band in where we could. What was
yeah.
asked of us after signing to majors was like we were full time. So we've kind of reached this impasse where because we both have kids and because we just, to be honest, and maybe this isn't cool to say and you're supposed to pretend that you're always having so much success and everything's great. It's hard for me. I struggle with it because like, you know, that's just not my... my outlook or my experience, but it's like we didn't get the size we needed to be to support having all these kids and figuring out childcare for them and touring and coming home with money and everything that kind of needs to happen from a realistic capitalist standpoint when you live in the United States of America.
Yeah, you can only be the band in the van for so long, you know.
Yeah,
and especially nowadays, one of the things that we've talked a lot about this year is just how impossible it is if you're not one of the 1% of bands making, you know, $1 million to $1 billion, you're making nothing. And it's impossible.
I mean, look, I am a nickel and dimer. I've been tour managing us for the last 8 years. I've controlled all of our money and I've made us money, but it's just not enough. But you get, if we were just even like a level above, like I could work with that.
Gotcha.
Get me on that budget. I can work with that. But yeah, I just think it's like, for me, I've stepped in and I've filled so many gaps for this band and kept it going. And it is a full-time job for me. Like right now, it's a full-time job. I'm running the label. I'm tour managing. I'm running all our budgets. I'm overseeing. It's so boring. Like I'm the drummer in this band and it's a rock and roll band. And literally my job is so boring. I stare at spreadsheets.
Yeah,
and
you're
get
an
caught
accountant
up on emails
slash
all.
Rock
yes.
star. I like yes. it.
Like Duff McKagan. Yes. So like, yeah, so it's just, you know, maybe someone else could hire me to do that and I could make a bunch of money. What I really wanted was rather than see it sort of get dragged through the dirt and melt away and disappear into nothing. I was like, let's put every single resource and effort we have right now into this and let's give it a proper send off, you know, let's give it,
yeah.
Let's consciously uncouple and like give it the beautiful last moment that it deserves, you know? So,
well, yeah. we're lucky that we get to go see it. What's next on the agenda for you two? Is there anything? Is it just living life for now?
Well, life is something, right?
Yeah. It's a big something, especially when you have a couple kids.
So Lindsay's working on a solo record, so she's going to be, you know, announcing that. I am likely going back to school to get a master's degree in forensic
awesome.
Psychology. Yeah.
Wow.
But at the moment, I'm overseeing the rest of this cycle, this farewell cycle. And, I also like very unexpectedly was not planning this. Actually, I was planning to quit music because I'm an extreme person and I'm just like, I need to kill it. It needs to die.
Yep.
but just really unexpectedly, this other sort of project has started developing. So, I mean, I'll definitely continue to do music and be releasing stuff. It needs to be probably like on more of a hobby basis, which I really like hate saying, but you know, unless I win the lottery.
Well, I'd like to have hope for the music industry to turn around eventually, mm-hmm. but I won't hold my breath. Sistrionics 2.0, how much, if people buy that album, how much of those proceeds go to you and Lindsay?
100%. Actually, since the record's been out February 1st, we've made more money from sales and downloads on it than we ever did on the first one.
That's great.
Yeah, it just goes to us. We're running the label, like it's all us. Like, it's different, little different than Taylor Swift, in that sense.
just a little bit,
just a tiny bit. I mean, you can stream it anywhere you stream music, but you can also stream and download it through our website, deepvalley.com.
Just go, yeah. So for our listeners, go to their website, download it. You can actually, I think, for the download, you pick your own price, right? For the downloading,
you can pick your own price. And if you are having a customer service issue, you can send me an angry email and I will read it. And I
well,
will
I just,
to it.
I just ordered the 2.0 vinyl yesterday.
Oh, thank
so
you.
If it doesn't get here in time, I will I'll write you and
better
no.
raise hell.
It's really is for our listeners that don't know this band yet, know them. This is incredible stuff.
Thank you so much.
Like Julie just said, go to their website, buy the vinyl there. That's all those proceeds are going to go to them, which that's what we want. And for anyone that's in the Boise area, especially if you're in going to Treefort, go to see them at 11 p.m. Saturday at the Shriner Club, which is for anybody that knows Boise. Everybody loves that club. So it's it should be a blast.
Us. Like, ironically, of course, we are tighter than ever this last
I love
time,
that, though. So. That's great. We'll be there. We'll be taking some pictures and rocking out. Julie,
thank you
so much for talking to us. And good luck at the show. We'll see you there.
Thank you. See you there.
Well, who made you do it? Look what... Actually, yes. The Look What the Music Industry Made Me Do award.
Yeah.
So Deep Valley, DEAPVALLY. I had trouble with that, Deep Valley. Be careful. They are on their farewell tour.
Right.
They've been around for like a decade.
Yeah.
And they are calling it quits. We saw them last night.
We did. It was dope.
Rocked the fucking house.
They really did.
For me, that was the most crowded indoor show that I saw.
I mean, it was a bigger space, but it was definitely like sardines. It was the only time. Something that's been nice about Treefort is I feel like people aren't like up in my space all the time.
Yeah.
Like when there is a big crowd, there's like
room
to move around you. And last night was the first night where I was just like,
this is packed.
You need to,
chill out. But it was, man, their energy. Like, they should be touring. They should be playing gigs all the time. Now, they're grown. They got kids. And so that's part of it.
That's a mistake.
But
if you want to be a musician, you can't have kids.
It's true.
Look at Taylor Swift.
Just wait. Just wait till the Swift 5 come out. So the problem is, though, is that they don't make enough money.
Right.
They don't make enough money because bands like that just aren't gonna.
Mm-mm.
And they're... We've talked about that. I'm not going to keep going.
Right.
But it sucks. It sucks. I hate that that's the first time I ever saw them, and that's going to be the last time I see them.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. going to the show that was packed, but like a lot of shows get packed and then they start playing and people are like, you know, and it was at the Shriner. There were other parts of the building where you could just go to another show if you wanted to. But it was got more and more and more packed. And the more they played, the more constricted our space was. Like, they really put their heart and souls and passion into playing.
I mean, yeah, they were they really were just rocking. That's the only word I can use to describe it. So the good news is, is that before calling it quits, Deep Valley pulled a Swift.
Okay.
They took their 2013 album, Sistrionics, which is incredible, and basically re-recorded Off Island Records, Sistrionics 2.0 through their own label.
Yeah.
So if you go buy Sistrionics 2.0,
they get all the money.
100% of the profits go to them.
Right.
So if you are going to get their album, which is incredible, if you like any sort, anything from... I'm sure they're sick of the White Stripes comp, but fuck, if it's there, it's there.
Yeah.
If you, that's not the worst band to be comped to. Like, they rock their little butts off. You know, all of those two people bands, but they have a little more of that 80s punky feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
Go check them out. Go buy that vinyl. It's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Your friendly neighborhood DL owns it.
Oh.
It's very good. Bam.
And maybe if you buy enough, then they can not have to go into retirement. They can come out of retirement.
That would be cool.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis it.
Yeah.
Maybe we are yet to see Deep Valley's There Will Be Blood. Huh. That's it. All right. Good job, Deep Valley. Thank you for the amazing show. You rocked the house. Rachel.
David.
Tree Fort's done.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I'm real tired.
I'm not. I feel great. I want to go run 10 miles. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
But in like the best way.
Yeah.
Right?
It was good and I'm glad we did it. But man, every time I think that I am festival worthy, I find out that I'm about 20 years too old for festivals.
I get to today and I am done. And you've been here for longer than me.
I have.
You've
not
kicked,
much longer, but
you've kicked,
I mean, I got one more night in.
You kicked
well,
my ass.
Barely, actually.
You kicked my butt. I think what's exhausting is just how invigorating it was for like two full days of just amazing band after amazing band.
Yeah.
Like there was no, okay, we kind of have to force ourselves to like these guys because we're interviewing them.
No. And that was super convenient and nice that everybody that we interviewed was actually insanely talented and really gave a good show and we enjoyed them.
Yeah. Freaking, man, all of them. Like we... we've gone through all the awards. We've gone through our, you know, every single band. You've seen every single band. They're all incredible. Go buy their physical media. Go to their websites. You know, one of the awards that we talked about was how shitty the music industry's gotten to where, you know, this is a really depressing thought to end with, and I'm sorry, but half these bands, at least, are not going to make it.
Right.
And it's fucking depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the odds for a band like Gilda House that they're just going to turn into a Deep Valley that has to retire this year because they just they can't do it,
which is unfortunate because they're so talented but they're also so passionate. It's what they want to do but they don't get to do it because just of the way the music industry is.
Yeah, buy music, everybody. That's the only way that this is going to work is if we buy music. And you artists, I know you have to do the Spotify thing, but man, give us somewhere else where we can buy it so you can actually get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Help me help you.
Help us help you.
Tree Fort, the actual festival.
Yeah.
Is this your first time?
This is my first Tree Fort.
So how do you feel about the actual festival?
I was a little concerned at how spread out it was. I've been to ACL and everything's very close together because there's space for it. You know, downtown Boise, there's not a big enough really space to have as many stages as they needed. But I was kind of okay with it being as spread out as it is. I mean, it's still easy walking if you had a bike. There was free bike parking.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Bike valet.
Bike valets. But yeah, no, it was super enjoyable. I wish we could have hit up. I mean, I know we were pretty scheduled as it was, but like there's also like Pod Fort and like Ale Fort, Food Fort.
Totally skip the podcast stuff, ironically, but I'm not into that. I don't care. I care about the music. What impresses me is I like that you said that about how spread out it is.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was like, fuck, now we got to get all the way over there.
Yeah.
I never felt like that.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Even last night when we did the Farthest Away concert. I mean, it was cold. That sucked.
And it rained.
But I could use the fresh air.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Fresh air is good. That's all.
I think this festival is amazing. I hadn't been here since I was, I think, in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, I think I probably came here like the third year or something like that. And it's so much bigger, but it's not at all. It does not feel corporate at all.
So something that's funny that I was just thinking about is when I saw the lineup, you know, 99% of the names, I was like, I have no clue who that band is. None at all. But every single band that we went to go see was
amazing.
Was super enjoyable.
Yeah.
Loved it so much.
Yeah.
Going to ACL, where I'm just like, I know every single band because they're more popular, they're making money.
Who were the big bands at that festival?
Lil Nas X was there.
Casey
Musgraves, The Chicks, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I'd much rather be
Paramore.
Paramore
fucking slayed. Like, that's a whole different story. But like, I was disappointed a lot of times at ACL where I expected more out of the bands.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it outside of Paramore again. But here, I guess I expected less because I'm like, these are just small town bands. Like, they're not very famous. They probably haven't been doing it that long. But like, we met bands that
they
have
don't
been
have the gear
together. Yeah, they've been together for like 4 years.
I think it's because
they're amazing.
They're fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
Like, they know that this is what they want to do, and they know that the odds are very against them.
Yeah.
And so they have to give everything every night, or there's just no way. Like, you look at f***ing, like, Mega Cat in their grooves last night.
Gosh.
And just pouring sweat and jamming and fucking, God, man. And pointing them out, but every single group.
Yeah.
Was just killing it.
Yeah.
Treefort. Let's do this every year.
Okay.
I know that doesn't sound great right now.
Not right now.
In 3 months, you'll be excited to come.
That's
back.
True.
Verse Chorus Universe, thank you so much for watching. Go to our Instagram. Website is not up right now. I've talked about it a little bit. There's a reason for that, though. And a lot of those reasons have to do with some of the things we've been talking about at Treefort, is we are trying to figure out a way to go a little more indie. And Evil's hard at work at that, instead of being here with us. Not really. He's in Puerto Rico drinking cocktails with his woman. But that's okay. You didn't get to see him enough, but Mr. Knutson, everybody's f***ing favorite, is behind the camera, has been the whole time. He is the reason that all of this looks and is edited as beautifully as it is. So go on to thank Sven for his amazing work, and hopefully this can get him some production stuff going, because he deserves it too. Verse, Chorus, Verse, Rachel, thanks for coming to Treefort.
Thanks for inviting me to Treefort.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We'll see you guys next year. All the bands, anything you need, honestly, you come out with a vinyl, let us know. We will blast it. We'll listen to it. We'll have you on. We'll talk to you anything you want. Treefort, the directors, thank you. You put on an amazing show. I think that's it.
That's it.
Good night. And good luck. We're going to go to sleep. Good night.
A wise man with a sometimes annoying voice once said, "Turns out not where, but who you're with that really matters." Maybe that's true. Maybe the reason that this adventure had been so special boils down to two proper nouns in Rachel and Sven. F*** off, Evil. It wasn't until I was in the middle of a conversation with one of the many musicians I've stayed in touch with since the festival that it clicked. It's not those two proper nouns, although they helped. It's a simple verb. Or a noun? Or both? Nobody cares. F*** you, English majors. Respect. Respect is the reason Treefort is what it is. And yes, I read blogs afterwards that read more like travel blogs, didn't even discuss music. And yes, I had a hangover for a couple days. And yes, Rachel and I may have peppered in a few, "We're getting too old for this shit." But every show I went to, you didn't see people making it about them. Every band that played were so obviously grateful to be playing. Every venue so incredibly welcoming, every angle thought out, every concert different. If you are one of the real ones, if you really, really just love music, get your ass to Treefort and I'll buy you a beer. Because no one will be able to explain to you what it is. You'll have to see it for yourself.
Like, that's the exact.
No. I will do an intro.
Deep Valley, and we are gonna give them
EAP.
D A.
No E.
D E A P.
Isn't it? E A L L Y. There's no E. Please go off.